Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, wherever you may be. It's a different experience to be holding this from Los Angeles. So if I seem to veer off a little bit today, the jet lag is still with me a bit. So I apologize in advance. It's been a very busy week. And so I didn't have much time to think about what I was going to speak about today until yesterday. And it all came together. I've met a couple of friends here who are both healers in different disciplines. And we had lovely time together and we ate a meal together. And then we got to talking about things. And the conversation proceeded to the point where they both told me how much they liked Donald Trump, how much they liked what he did, and he was good for America, and he's a great president. One of them went off onto the whole thing of the satanic evil that's fighting the white good and the kidnapped children, and the I was quiet. And I didn't know how to respond. And after hearing both of them, actually the first one happened on Wednesday and then the second one happened yesterday, I started to think, how does one respond to that? I guess if one likes Donald Trump, one responds, yeah, that's great. I don't particularly care for Donald Trump nor for what he did. But the vehemence and belief with both these healers, and they're good healers, and they're good human beings, believed this situation was really striking to me. It was a bit shocking, I must say. And that is a little bit judgmental on my part, because how do I know? How do we know what Donald Trump's real role in the whole scheme of things is, right? We discussed this once, I think, briefly. We live 60 years, 100 years. This person comes along for a period of time, and we don't know what's going to happen in another 100 years and how critical that person's contribution to the world is and what role it is. What we do know is that if it happens, it was karmically organized and arose from some kind of origin from our studies, correct? Dependent origination. So we know that. We can't say it shouldn't have happened, because it did happen. And once it happens, that means that it's something there that feeds it, something that gives birth to it. So in thinking along those lines, I thought deeper, kind of reflected on it. So what is it that I can really feel or respond or have some kind of thought about? And that immediately went into the title of today's discourse. Life happens, so what do we do about it? And it was interesting how it all dovetailed together, and that's what I really love about karma and seeing clear and being part of the Dharma. Life happens. It moves along. It has a logic to it. It has karma, it has dependent origination, which are logical models to explain how life happens. Ultimately, for each one of us, though, it is how we respond to how life is happening that creates our reality. What creates our reality? Who creates our reality? That's a good question. Who creates our reality? Anybody, go ahead. Any answer, I'm happy to hear from you guys.
We do.
And this is the hardest thing, because in conversation with people, I had the pleasure of having a dinner with my brother and his family yesterday, which usually is a rather tense situation, but yesterday was really very pleasant. And yet, they were talking about my mother, we were talking about the life in general, what was going on. And it came to the point of something was said, and I responded, well, ultimately, we all are only able to create our own reality. And if we are having an unpleasant experience, it's really what's happening to us. And it was so difficult for anyone there to really accept that. And of course, after a little bit of thought, it was, oh yes, that's true. But I could sense how in their being, that wasn't really true for them, because they understood the principle of it, but they didn't understand the very fact that they are really doing it for themselves. So how does this connect to Donald Trump and my two friends who are healers? When life happens, we perceive, we observe, we have experience. We've gone through this in many discourses. Contact, right? Sense contact, whether it's eye contact or ear contact or nose or taste or touch or mental contact. And then from contact arrives this feeling. And from feeling comes perception, and from perception comes mental formations, and from mental formations comes materiality, and then consciousness of a whole reality is built. And then suddenly we have an image of what's happened. Then the image, okay, we've just had tea, or we've just taken a shower, or we're listening to music, or we're doing something else. What is taking place there is our awareness of what's actually happening, the process. And what the Buddha Dharma encourages us to do is to become aware of that process. Our awareness of our own experience does not establish any absolute truth in the right or wrong sense or the good or bad sense. Is that clear? Does that make sense to you? It's just how we perceive it according to us. And the only way we can live is how we perceive things, according to us, right? I can't live by anybody else's values. Even if I think I'm living according to somebody else's values, I first have to agree to live in that way. Is that clear? Before I live by somebody else's values. So ultimately, I'm still living by my own decision. We live by our own decisions. We're not victims of circumstance. We are co-creators in our circumstance. And so what I realized is that, or what I perceived at the time, better than realized, is that these realities occur. Donald Trump gets elected as the president of the United States, and he is who he is, and he does what he does. And we hear about what he is and does according to the people that pass information and what they choose to tell us. And how one responds to that is one's own decision, right? But it doesn't have an ultimate good or an ultimate bad. It's a position. It's a position each person forms based on their own ethical structure. And in fact, there's almost no point of having that discussion with anybody, because everybody is going to respond based on their own ethical structure. So the most we can do is, oh, I like this, I find this good, I find this positive, or no, I don't like this, I don't find this good, I don't find this positive. But beyond that, the discussion is almost a waste of time. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we are never going to persuade someone else to change their perception, just like we're not going to allow others to persuade us to change our perception. Because if we're living Buddha Dharma, and if we're trying to be aware, then we're trying to learn and accomplish trusting our own perception and ability to verify what we're experiencing. I'll repeat that. If we're following Buddha Dharma, we're trying to live and learn to trust our own perception and our ability to verify that as real. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
So in the process of living, all these weird and unusual and extreme or non-extreme experiences occur, and we make sense of it in our own reality. whether that's Buddha Dharma or whether that's Stoic philosophy, it's all, again, saying the same thing. Or even Sufi philosophy from Rumi, or Jesuit philosophy from Francis of Assisi, or Jesuit philosophy from Thomas Merton, or Zen philosophy from Bodhidharma, they're basically, or Taoist philosophy from Chuangzi and Laozi, they're basically all saying the same thing. That is, we have the choice on how to be aware of our experience. Now, does not mean that we just become passive and don't react or respond to things around us. And that is where the question that came up last week, a little bit of engage Buddhism, and we discussed that, and I put that on the channel for anybody that was interested. But it does mean that we recognize that when we engage in something, it is our engagement, and it's not any ultimate or greater power engagement. Does that make sense? So there is no such thing really as a greater good. There is good that each of us find in our ethical structure, in our moral way of structuring our life, and what's virtuous. And we try to live according to that. And if that is what nourishes us, and we can verify that, then that will continue for us as we live to give us strength. And tying this back to the original discussion, so I can sit with my colleagues and friends, and they're both actually very dear friends too, which was a little bit harder for me to accept. I have to be very honest. But I can sit with them and say, okay, that's how you feel about this person. That's not how I see it. I see it very differently. And to one, I actually did say I found the ethical values by this person, that was Donald Trump, lived by, to be very, very different from my own, and not encouraging harmony and balance and peace among people, but rather somewhat, I use the word racist. And the response was, oh, that's what they call him. That's what, you know, if someone does something like that, they call him racist. That's not racist. It's the Democrats who are really racist. And so I was quiet. I didn't want to respond to that. I didn't want to condemn his comment, but I didn't want to respond to that emotionally. And I wanted to think and say, well, isn't that kind of comment just doing the same thing that they're saying the Democrats are doing to them? Without taking sides. I'm not taking a side on Democrat or Republican, but rather seeing that both sides, rather than being, or many sides, rather than being real and present, are living by slogans and mottos and prejudgments or prejudices, and certainly not taking accountability or responsibility for their actions, despite their claim that they are the one that is responsible, or are responsible, and are accountable. Does that, everybody follow me with that?
Yeah.
Are there any questions so far that you want me to clarify before I proceed a little bit? No? It's all good? So, what Buddhadharma teaches us and gives us the opportunity to listen to is really to understand that our life is our experience. We are the universal manifestation of us, what it is to be us. And that in being that manifestation, we have the ability to either delude ourselves and take some position that is really just a conditional situation, or to perceive what we experience as a conditional situation which arises from a specific origin and is dependent on that origin. Now, again, that's not a moral value. And we discussed this last time. That's not a reason to see someone being attacked on the street and not to intervene, right? Remember we discussed that 2 weeks ago? If you intervene, you intervene, but you make the decision clear from your own mind, you know, that you're intervening. So it's about asking for clarity, not asking for reaction. And so when we become, now how does this become a practical tool? So life happens, what do we do about it? Rule number one, do not react. Consider and reflect first. Ask a question, what is really happening here? That's a simple question, right? What is really happening here? What is this discussion here? And that is what I began to ask when I was listening to these two friends. What is really happening here that these people are talking about this? And my response when I reflected upon it was, they're telling me their belief system, right? That's all. It's an opinion and a belief system. And it's an opinion and a belief system based on media presentation. Because when I ask them, how do you know that's true? Well, I read the articles here. I'm going to send you this link. I'm going to send you that link and this person. And it just makes sense to me. Well, okay, that's fine. I'm no criticism there. Those articles are written with great sense of connectedness to all the occurrences, but they're put in a certain order and presentation so that they make sense, don't they? Aren't they? No, don't they? It's like a scientific experiment. Many, many years ago, it was always already determined that the intent in setting out to perform a scientific experiment had a tremendous amount of effect on what the results were. In 2005, the Journal of American Medical Association, which is a very conservative, wrote and published an article saying that double-blind studies in medicine are really not true, because the way an experiment is set up will influence the outcome of the experiment. So although that does not justify not doing them, and it doesn't mean they don't have value, we have to keep in mind that the way an experiment is set up is the way, is a very strong influence on how the results will show up. Okay? So the way all this material is presented to us, whether it's right-wing material, left-wing material, QAnon material, non-anon material, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, it is all presented and in a way that you will arrive at the conclusion that their intention is. Right? So the intention of the communication is for you to arrive at something. And that differs fundamentally from the practice of Buddha Dharma, which intention is for you to arrive at clarity from within yourself, from within your own experience, to take all the stimulus you receive verbally, audially, tactilely, visually, sensorily, through the olfactory, through the nose, and mentally through consciousness, and process it and arrive at your own understanding from within your own experience of what's real and what's not real. And then be able to verify it over and over through the practice. Which practice? Mindfulness, sitting, vipassana, quiet sitting, satipatthana. Those are your verification tools. You're getting stuck. What's your tool for release? Breathing. Go into the breathing, unstuck yourself, and then start to reflect again and come to understanding of what you're experiencing. And what a person chooses to accept says only one thing. It says what that person is about. It has no comment whatsoever on the validity or invalidity of what the report they're getting. Do you understand that? Does that make sense to everybody? When you hear someone say, I believe that this is this, 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 all that is saying is that that person has understood and come to that reality.